following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. I'm DJ Moco, and this is Creasing Corners. Grab a drink, get cozy, and get ready to read between the lines. Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking about The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. If you know this book, which I think you might, depending on how deep you're into reading, this is actually a classic to some people. I don't know if it is because I haven't heard of it before school, like starting college even. I became a big reader in my junior year of high school, and not so much the classics, so maybe I'm just, you know, biased in this. The Bell Jar, if you're unfamiliar with it, if you are, this will be a refresher. If you're not, it is the only book written by Sylvia Plath, which she published originally under a pseudonym, Victoria Lucas, and it was published in 1963. It is sort of autobiographical, and I say sort of because it's not exact to her life, according to many people. Who's many people? Probably people in her life and who documented her after her death. And I'm not going to go through it here because we're talking about her only book, but because it's actually a strong link to the story of The Bell Jar. Of course, her ending is not the ending of this book. The Bell Jar is about spiraling into mental illness as a woman back in the 60s, and Sylvia Plath lived this reality. Though I do have a lot of opinions about it, some positive, some negative. A lot of people are not going to like my opinions on this, so I will give what I like. But first, I want to preface that this is a book that people consider a classic, and they also consider it a feminist novel. I do not fully agree with that statement, but because it is claimed as a feminist novel, that means there's a certain demographic of, I'm going to say, men that have tried to romanticize it in a way. If you don't know what a performative man is, it's a man who wears a tote bag and wired headphones and says that he reads feminist literature. That's not everything, but that's what I'm going for. And this is one of the books that they claim they've read. I'm not trying to say that they didn't read it, but I'm going to say that they definitely romanticize it, a majority at least, because we will see that a lot in media now and memes and everything, is that they will romanticize and joke about women's mental health, even though it's still not being taken seriously to this day. So let's talk about this book. This story is about Esther Greenwood. I'm sorry if I can't pronounce Esther right. I feel like it's a very complicated name for me for some reason. She is a college-aged woman who, in the beginning of the story, is doing an internship. And it's actually it's a very cool college internship. She's doing like a magazine. And she gets so depressed about it. She thinks it's so mundane and she doesn't even like it. And she has all these like other models or magazine workers with her, about the same age, and she just doesn't like them except for this one named Doreen. The beginning of the story doesn't really matter. Then she leaves this internship to go home, and she had sent a letter to the college to get accepted to this writing program. She submitted a application for it, and she did not get it. This is when she spirals. She gets really depressed. She goes home. She's in bed. She can't sleep. She can't eat. She can't do anything. And yes, this is something that a lot of people with depression can relate to. So after these days of not eating and not sleeping, she decides to finally try to take her own life. Once she's found, it didn't work. That's why the story keeps going. She's taken to a mental institution. She's been taken to several at this point. They've done shock therapy on her. She's moved to a different one where this woman who wants her to succeed in her education, she pays for her to go to this special hospital that is, for lack of better terms, more bougie, I suppose. And the lady who's paying for this has been there herself. She goes through this depression in this institution, as anyone would, because this is not going to fix you, right? Quote-unquote fix. So she goes through that, and she has this misanthropy, which honestly, I think she's both misogynist and misandrist, but we'll get to that later. My opinions about this character, I don't want to say that I hate her, but I am not particularly fond of her. And I think it is because she's so dull and mean. There's just a lot of weird aspects about her. Like, when she's in this internship, she's not really that nice to her friends, or her quote-unquote friends. And in any timeline, any situation in this book, she's not nice to her friends. Not nice to anyone, really. She hates her mother. She hates the woman that got married and had 6 kids in the neighborhood. This other woman that she's had a high school experience with, I think, she's not really that nice to her. She's, like, kind of mean. There's nobody that she's nice to. Nobody. And I don't like that. I know it's meant to be that way. I'm not saying this is a bad writing or anything. I just don't like her. And I don't see how anyone could. I think people could relate to her, but I don't think anyone could like her. The writing style of this novel resembled her poems. It had a lot of poetic imagery. Especially in the beginning, I remember vividly a lot of her city life and the way that she described her room and when she was out with this man and it was raining outside. That part, I liked that. I like when there's imagery. And the title of the book came later in the story. The Bell Jar refers to a bell jar covering Esther Greenwood and keeping her in her own gas, I guess. I think that's somehow she described it that way. She's keeping her in her own environment, her own mental state surrounding her, that she's constantly in this state of dread. That imagery was pretty powerful. I liked that. I thought it was unique. The story, plot-wise, progressed not quickly. I wouldn't say it had a quick progression, but I didn't feel like things were going too slow. It all seemed kind of day-to-day paced, even though it wasn't day-to-day paced. Especially nearing the end when she's struggling to eat and, or not the end, I guess the middle of the story. Here are some critiques I have about this novel. I would not call this a feminist novel. I wouldn't call it a feminist literature. I think it is, I'm sorry, again, I warned everyone ahead of time, you might not like my opinions. I think this is a white feminist novel. And let me give you some examples. There are a lot of racist comments and racist ideology in this. I will give you examples. She compared herself. She's exhausted. She comes back. She looks inside. She looks in the mirror. And she compares herself to, quote unquote, big, smudgy-eyed Chinese woman. What? Why would you say that? And here's the thing. There's a lot of these. There's a black male worker at this hospital, and Esther is constantly demonizing him. And she spent 2 or 3 pages just giving a full-on characterization for this man, but in just such a negative way. Here are the direct quotes. He had big rolling eyes and grinning and chuckling in a silly way. And these are stereotypes of black men, back then especially. And she phonetically spelled out his dialogue. So using really as R-E-E-L-Y and miss as M-I-Z. And then Esther kicks the man in the calf for serving her 2 platters of beans, which is, I guess, disrespectful or something. It shows that this character is so flawed and so racist. And that's one of the big things I don't like about her. Probably the biggest thing. Another thing is that this character is so, I think, conservative, because not only is there that racism, but there's also a hint of lesbians in her, I think it was her high school, and then in the institution. She was demonizing it. She was saying it was a sin. And she asked, what does a woman have that a man doesn't? And it's like, what are you saying, Esther? What does that mean? I thought that it did have good mental health awareness for women back then, and I don't think there's a lot of representation now too, and nobody's taking it as seriously. Not nobody, but there's a lot of places that won't take it seriously. And like I mentioned earlier, there's people romanticizing it, thinking that a woman having bipolar disorder is actually a nice, cute little quirk. That's real. That's real. I did think the book was good at some points. There were a lot of good moments of imagery that I could perfectly imagine. But I can't seem to look past the racism and the anti-feminist aspects of this. Yes, this is white feminism because it is uplifting white women that are dealing with mental health issues. This might represent them, and it's showing awareness for this issue. But in the process is demonizing and belittling people that aren't white women, like black men and lesbian women. I guess you could say that's a white woman too, but I mean straight cis white women. So that's what I don't like about the book. I don't think anybody has to read it. I wouldn't say I recommend it unless you think you could find some kind of solace in it because you can relate to it. I know a lot of my friends have. It's like, it's a great book. I related and things like that. I'm sure it's relatable. I haven't dealt with depression on this level, so I know that I can't relate to it. At least in some ways I can, but not all the way. I think this character is very flawed and has impacted the way that she has depression as well. So I don't think not everyone can relate to this. The ending was pretty ambiguous. I usually don't like that in endings. I don't want to have to guess what happens next. I'm sure it's supposed to end on a happy note, but because it's parallel to Sylvia Plath's life, I'm not sure if it's supposed to represent something of her leaving the institution, but if she makes it out and she's good, well, there is a certain point in the book where she says the bell jar has lifted, but it can come down at any moment. I'm going to believe the ending meant that exactly, that she's going to live, but she might have this situation again. I really appreciate if this novel had less racist comments and anti-LGBTQ. That would make the book 10 times better. This book didn't make me sad. It made me feel a certain way. It made me feel very hopeless. For what reason? I'm still not sure what exactly made me feel this way. I think it was just so morose and dull, and everything was just a tragedy for Esther, and her mood towards everything kind of set this tone for the book. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's a very uplifting or encouraging book. So especially if someone's not in a good place to read it, don't read it. But I also just wouldn't recommend it anyway. That's all I have for The Bell Jar. I'm going to give this book a 5 out of 10. Mainly because of the weird racist comments and the weird anti-LGBTQ. It's just not feminist, so it's pretty misleading. Also, because I didn't enjoy reading it. It felt like a chore. And I honestly didn't relate. Objectively, I'd probably give it one more point for people who are thinking about reading it. But yes, I think if it did not have all that racist stuff, it would be fine. That's all I have for The Bell Jar. Thank you for listening.